Dear Shooter, do you see the lantern in the steeple of the old Boston church? The British are coming! Assemble the militia! Wake Captain Parker! Stand your ground, boys. Do not fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have your war, let it begin here.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you need to make
a clip-on, it's not a strap-on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
All right, happy Thursday, and we kind of have a little special episode for you because this is, when this drops, this will be the eve of the 250th anniversary of the shot heard round the world.
250. That's been a minute.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, no. I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you need to make that
clip-on, it's not a strap-on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
All right, happy Thursday, and we kind of have a little special episode for you because this is, when this drops, this will be the eve of the 250th anniversary of the shot heard round the world.
250. That's been a minute.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
What better way to quote John Parker? He was the captain of the Lexington Militia, history is a little vague on who actually fired the first shot, but that is what kicked off the Revolutionary War.
Somebody committed.
Yeah. Did they commit or was it a misfire? We don't know.
Committed. Insane.
Well,
committed.
Well, yeah. So, but before we really get rolling here, congratulations is in order. Our esteemed host, Jason Wilson, has now been elected to a 3-year term to the NRA Board of Directors.
It's time to get to work, and from what I've seen so far in recent messages, there is a lot of work to be done. There will be no shortage of me being busy. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. All you supporters out there, I couldn't have done it without you, but yikes, careful what you ask for.
Well, the British asked for war that day, and that's what they got.
Clearly.
They were... Let me set the stage for you for a minute here. So imagine this is 1775, right? You are armed with your Kentucky long rifle, which, incidentally, I think is what won the war, but we'll get to that.
Now, we use that word armed. this is a tool that you used every day.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, it went with you. So when you say arm, this is leaning against the doorway in your bedroom.
Right. You don't leave the house without it.
Hanging above the fireplace in a position of prominence.
Mm-hmm.
Over by the coat rack by the door. It is an average, everyday piece of kit.
That's right.
Just like your belt is part of your pants.
You're getting ahead of me here.
Oh.
But then just let me look. Okay, back to setting the stage.
Okay.
You are part of the Lexington militia, and you have been called up. And you are standing at the bridge between Lexington and Concord. There's about 77 of you. Coming over the hill is somewhere in the neighborhood of 700 British soldiers. Okay, now, to put this in perspective, this would be, you know, you and me and 65 of our closest friends waiting for Abrams tanks to come rolling
in. I'm kind of worried about that because you don't have 65 friends.
I don't know 65 people.
The problem is,
they're all subhumans like
one, me. One, we're standing on a bridge. We've isolated ourselves with no point of egress. And we've got single-shot rifles.
Yes, but here's the advantage you have over the British. Your rifles actually have rifling, making them wildly more accurate than the smoothbore muskets that the British are carrying.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm tracking with you.
but no,
you're right, yes.
But no, being outnumbered 10 to 1. And the whole reason that the British are coming is to, what? Confiscate the arms.
That's correct. Put down a little itty-bitty rebellion.
Mm-hmm. They were also on their way to arrest, let's see, we had Sam Adams was part of that, John Hancock and Paul Revere. And most people don't know that Paul Revere was actually captured on his ride.
Yep.
Captured, questioned, and let go because they couldn't hold him on anything.
Well, other than being the air raid siren everybody needed.
But they didn't know that.
Right.
So, British start this. Lexington militia retreats back to Concord. And by the time they got to Concord, they got the rest of the militia rounded up. Now we're starting to see equal footing. I think we're at this point, we're somewhere around 450, 500 militiamen. And we've picked off enough of the British at this point that it's becoming a little bit more even fight. Except we fought dirty. We didn't just stand in line.
If you're not fighting to win, you were going to lose.
That's right.
So cheat if you have to. Show me a rule book.
Well, who was it that said, you know, games have rules. If you're not cheating, you're not fighting hard enough to win when it's for real.
Correct. This is not a game.
But this is our history, right? This is what founded the country, and I think we're at a junction now that it is kind of reminiscent to what was going on then.
There's an echo and a hallmark in what we're seeing today. This is not a game.
No.
And if we don't take it back, it will be lost. So, in a lot of ways, you're seeing parallels in reform candidates. You're seeing parallels in the way we're looking at or revisiting the constitutionality of how we live.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to take it back.
Well, and all of these events, this is what the basis was for the Second Amendment.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
It's a recognition that a God-given right to protect yourself was ordained upon you as a man.
Right.
And all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
No man, government or otherwise, gets to tell me the manner in which I get to protect myself.
Right.
Doing your monologue here.
All right. So, a well-regulated militia being necessary to a free state, mm-hmm, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Pretty darn elegant. Pretty simple. And vague where it needs to be, so it can be timeless.
Right.
Specific where it needs to be, where the intent cannot be misconstrued.
But the intent is misconstrued, no, and it's that...
It's perverted.
Well, you're right. And it's that militia portion of it that the left likes to run with, the anti-gun people like to run with, because they want to equate that to the National Guard, the military.
Nope.
But
nope.
Let's talk about who the militia was.
Everybody.
It was everybody. And in 1775, colonial militias were a core element of colonial defense, consisted of able-bodied men between 16 and 60, expected to possess arms and participate in community defense.
Now, there's a portion of that that often gets overlooked, a well-regulated militia.
Right.
So, in that time, words are important, more than we are today, right? That regulated piece, that is well-prepared, which means trained, and armed with the proper instruments of your position. So, arms, a defensible tool, right?
Well, it says right here. So, arms and equipment. Mm-hmm. Militiamen were expected to provide their own weapons, ammunition, and accoutrements, including a musket or flintlock, bayonet, flints, a knapsack, and ammunition.
Now, of the time, those were appropriate arms mm-hmm. for anybody trying to defend themselves.
Right. They were also drilled once a week and provided guard details each evening to sound the alarm in case of attack.
Training.
This is, yeah, that's exactly right. You're talking training, you're talking equipped. The well-regulated part, that's what they're referring to.
And we have lost that in a lot of our Second Amendment culture.
We have. And just society in general.
Agreed.
And not that that's necessarily a bad thing, that we don't have to be at that level. But that doesn't mean that we don't still have a responsibility to our families, to our communities.
Correct. But the regulated piece, we harp on it all the time, asking people to go get trained. Simply possessing the arms isn't enough.
No.
And being a 2A supporter, if you choose to defend your family with equipment, you have to be trained in it.
Oh, you mean just buying it isn't enough?
Correct. It's a responsibility of being a citizen. If you're going to proclaim that you're exercising your rights, do so properly.
Well, and we look at the structure of the militias. Each colony had its own militia laws, but most agreed that militia consisted of able-bodied white males between the ages of 18 and 45. And there were, and this is where we got the Minutemen. Okay, because so in the militias, the Minutemen, these were the guys that went out and they got everybody mustered and told everybody that the British were coming. Right. They were trained to be ready for immediate action or at a minute's warning.
Yep.
They were expected to be ready and moving within 1 minute of receiving the order.
I think that's valid.
And that's pretty impressive. If you think about the lines of communication in 1775.
Well, it's a cascading order, right? It only goes as far as earshot. They only had telephones. Well, what, 75 years later?
I don't know. When did AT&T start? Or what was it? Ma Bell back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah. There was no way to advance that communication. Now, I do know that some parishes and some villages had signal fires, right? That the watchtower from the next village over, say a couple miles away, could see.
Well, and that was the whole, you know, one if by land, two if by sea. Everybody knew that if there was a lantern in the old Boston church, or if there was two, you know, get your waiters.
It was time. Right. And so that minute's notice, it's actually pretty fast. You start looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to pick up your gear and go in 1 minute, I've got a go bag that I can do that with.
Mm-hmm. They're a little more aware of their surroundings, remember. So no television, no telephone, yep. No noises. You went to bed when it was dark, and you woke up the minute it was light.
Absolutely
there was
right.
There was absolutely no other distractions, and you were more self-aware.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you got to grab all your gear, and then you got to saddle your horse, and then go.
They did it every day.
I know.
But I will tell you that I've got a go bag. I can be ready in a minute. Can you?
Pretty close.
Can you, Brandy?
I just go.
You're relying on Jason to bring your stuff with him?
Yep.
I always have guns in my car because I forget they're there and I keep piling more in. And I've got an arsenal.
So we're great if we take Brandy's car.
Yeah, but you have, you know, No food, no water, no comms, no med.
I think there's year-old jerky in the back box.
And you'll acquire some of that along the way. But I'm able to go within a minute. I wonder how much of our listenership can say that. Because, all right, you're told to go. Are you going to have to figure out where your gun is? Do you know the combination to your lock to be able to exercise that and you're safe in a minute? Things you got to think about.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that. Because for the most part, especially if I have to leave in a vehicle, like Brandy says, most of our vehicles are pretty well prepped already. So if I just have to jump in a vehicle and go, I've got a substantial amount of stuff for sustainment and to keep me alive. But as far as a go bag, yeah, I've got go bags. I mean, which one you want? I mean, we're talking my 72-hour get me home from anywhere in the world, or are we talking my, you know, recce ruck that I can go out in the middle of the wilderness for a week at a time at a moment's notice?
Somebody drives in your driveway and says, hey, it's time to do Patriot shit. Let's go.
Yeah.
You ready to go in a minute?
I'd be ready to go in a minute.
All right.
Maybe a minute and a half.
Because that's what we're talking about, right? The guy rolls in on his horse and says, it's time.
Because I'm not going to do a Tonto and go fight the jihad in my shorts.
Well, he wasn't going to change pants. That would take more than a minute. Point being, how many of you can get ready to go in a minute? 60 seconds should be a decent goal even today.
And don't overthink it, because back then they didn't have all the shit.
That's
so
right.
How much of it's necessary?
Exactly right. But I will say this also on the flip side. My wife could be starving and say so, and it takes us half an hour to leave the house to go get some food. So decision matrix is a big deal.
All right. All right, look. So here's the thing about, and gentlemen, I'm going to give you the cheat code here. The reason that women can never make a decision on where they want to eat is because they want the burger from Wendy's, but they want the fries from McDonald's, but you can't forget about the Frosty. And then they want dessert from like Cheesecake Factory. And so now they're trying to decide pros and cons which place to go.
You can decide that on the way. I'm talking about you got to put lips on and fix the hair and get the right jacket on and get out the door.
Not in this house.
Right?
No war paint unless I'm going to war, bitches.
Well, that's the point. You are. I see what you're saying. But take evaluation of your readiness. How ready are you? I'm good to go in a minute.
Minute and a half, probably.
Okay. So that you're the minute and a half man.
Hey, you know. Nice guys finish last because we always make sure the ladies come first. I don't know.
Oh, you're so not helping right now.
I wasn't trying to.
I derailed you. Sorry.
No, it's all right. But I bring this up because I think that this is an extremely important point in history that we need to really remember, and we need to, I think, needs to be studied a lot more, especially by the younger generations, because I don't think a lot of them really understand what this country went through to become a country, to become a new nation.
Oh, Colorado's starting to learn what it's like. Polis is coming.
They're going to learn today. I mean, there is lots of stuff going on in Colorado that's going to make it not livable.
Well, I had some conversations with some friends of ours that lived there, and I know that there was some very serious conversation of whether or not to actually stay. And it's an extremely difficult decision.
Don't let the government push you out. Push them out.
Well, I wish it was that simple. But when you have the...
It is that simple.
But you have to convince the majority of the people that moved there from California and brought their politics to see the light.
Well, just get rid of them because you don't want hostages.
So what you're saying is we should not have gotten rid of Trendaragua? And there's the mascot with his 2 cents.
And I have to say, I'm kind of with Brandy on this. You're going to have to intervene from the citizen side to push the politics out. And yes, that means some of your citizenry that have formed those HOAs and formed a communist state and brought those politicians into line, they've got to go.
I do.
And so, yes, getting rid of the Venezuelans out of the apartment complex was a great first step. It's not enough. You got rid of the cancer, but you still got to get rid of the tumors that are hanging out in the Congress.
You know, I like the way you put that, too, because they are, and they are infectious. The entire, if you look at the last, let's call it 15 years, the Colorado legislature has been infected to the point where it is just, it's sick.
They've had one float after another attempting to erode your civil liberties. It's all about control, guys. It's not about the things that they're trying to tell you that are bad.
I was going to say, other than modernization, how is what's going on in Colorado any different than when the British are coming?
It's worse. You're getting taxation without representation. They're trying to confiscate your arms.
So what did we do in 1775?
We shot them in the face.
Exactly.
I mean,
I swear to God, that was not planned.
No, but it's very dramatic and it's very real. You got to say enough's enough and draw that line, because if you let it be okay, it becomes okay. And it's not.
Well, and we saw that in going back to that. Okay, so what originally pissed off the colonists? It was the Stamp Act. Mm-hmm. That was the real start of it. And then you had we call it the Boston Massacre. That was another instance where we're not entirely sure who shot first on that one. But you ended up with colonists dead that probably shouldn't have been.
Correct.
So you've got these atrocious acts. You have, again, the taxation without representation. King George was an absentee landlord.
I love my coffee.
Right? So, yeah, we threw their tea in the harbor because, screw you, we're not going to pay your tax.
That's right.
And then they decided to come after the guns. That was the final straw. And I think, you know, going back to the Colorado legislature, that's what they forget. That was our line in the sand. You're coming for the guns. You're coming for the gunpowder. We don't think so.
And no one's drawing that line. They're just going to keep stepping back and stepping back.
Somebody's going to have to draw the line. I vote Michael Bayne's the captain of that. Because he can draw the line.
He can draw the line.
And if I was on the wrong side of it, I wouldn't want to cross it.
Well, you're just going to end up a roadblock.
Yeah, he's going to pile you up right in the middle of the road with everything else. I mean, if you don't show them that you're willing to stack bodies.
Right. Well, and speaking of HOAs, like they've had this conversation, and he has made the point that, you know, if things go south and I need to do what I need to do, he's like, look, I have a 270-degree hairpin turn ranged from my office window. And I know some of the capability that he has. He will block that road. And they have an HOA. They have a road committee.
You get to that point in war, they don't matter.
They don't think like that. But that's what begged the question. They're like, well, is he going to consult the road committee? And of course, Michael Sweetie very politely explained to them that Michael doesn't believe in democracy.
He's not going to ask permission first.
No. <y'all. laughs> If it needs to be done, we're not going to decide this by committee.
No. And that's the problem with the way our country's headed. Everything needs to be decided by a committee. Some decisions don't require a committee and are better made in a vacuum.
Agreed, but you also have to consider that we are a republic, and I think people forget that. We are a republic. We're not a democracy. I get so sick of the left screaming, democracy, democracy, democracy. All it is 51% of the people taking away the rights of the other 49.
But if we've learned anything from history, violence solves problems.
Oh, very effectively.
So let's have the fight, and we'll discuss it afterwards. That's how country boundaries get made.
Well, I think, and so we've discussed this before, that the left, when it comes to violence, they have the dial, and they're able to ratchet it up, ratchet it down, and push it right to that edge where we don't really do anything about it. The reason that our side has been so hesitant is because we don't have a dial. We have a switch.
We understand what happens when you flip the switch.
That's right. And that's just it. We don't stop at X. We don't stop until it's done. The left will foment violence just to make a point or put pressure on you or whatever. When we go to violence, we're going to change the world.
Yeah, I'm not boxing to keep score.
Right.
I'm going to manage the threat in front of me and move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have that fight.
I really don't either.
I don't want to have that fight. But they're pushing us into a corner where we're going to have that fight.
And it's scary. I mean, I really thought after Trump was elected that things would settle down and everybody, especially like from the training perspective, that everybody like, oh, we can take a deep breath. We don't have the government breathing down our neck anymore. We don't have to worry about, you know, some kind of grid down scenario where the government's coming to get us. And I thought training was going to like slack off, and it's been the exact opposite. My phone's ringing off the hook.
It's because you've seen a flip-flop. The federal government is starting to come back into common sense and reason. And it's policies that have been there forever. They're just looking at them and making sure that they get enforced. Where the state governments have lost their goddamn mind.
Well, California and Colorado for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you were telling me, Brandy, the other day, you were like, it's easier to own a gun in New York than Colorado now.
Well, yeah, because Colorado can no longer own guns.
Well,
have to reapply for the right to do that.
No,
so
it's
they
horrible.
Can be registered, and then you have to take their class at the state level. And I'm sorry, your state government, they don't know how to shoot a gun. How are they going to teach you a damn thing?
The registration by a state-run training program is a bait to an ambush to confiscate your shit. Registration leads to confiscation, and every time it's been attempted across the planet.
Right.
And that's what's happening. So I'm saying it's time to play 1775, Colorado. Let's go.
I'm ready to party like it's 1775. I'm all
it
about
won't
that.
Take long, but it'll be ugly.
Oh, it's yeah. Well, you're going to look at Fort Collins, Denver, Colorado Springs, and Boulder getting decimated. That's what's going to happen.
And the Western Slope will be like, go.
Pretty much. It. Yeah.
They'll come help.
Yeah, they will. Speaking of help. You pay some bills, and then I got something to tell you.
Beans, bullets, band-aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear, and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
So when all this crap came about in Colorado, and this has just been over the past few days, basically over the weekend, I was actually in Afton teaching a class, and I called Brandy, and her and I were talking a little bit, and I have a class scheduled in Colorado the first part of May. And she flat out told me, like, I'm not allowed to schedule any more classes in Colorado.
Well, because the people who have these firearms that are going to refuse to do their whole registry process should not be caught in public.
Well, and fortunately, where we're doing this is a private range, so it's not shouldn't be an issue. And it's before all this going into effect, what, August 1st?
That is the date.
But it gave me a brilliant idea. I am going to do a Colorado-specific class. And at the time, I was like, hey, rocks and sticks defense. But now, since we're talking about 1775, maybe I'm thinking like Kentucky long rifle defense.
They can have those.
Right?
Just drop a bayonet on. Let's do this old style.
What I need to do is I need to really study up on linear warfare and volley
linear
fire.
Linear warfare. Yikes. Volleys of fire. Puff, puff, pass, man.
Well, that's Colorado for you.
Right? That is the whole point of saying
it. Because somebody, well, and I think Brandy said it, and somebody at the class said it too. They're like, well, you could do archery. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure compound bows are next on the list.
God, I hope not. Those are pretty cool.
I don't know. Colorado has lost their mind.
They've lost it.
But I think that's different than what was going on during the Revolutionary War.
I don't.
No, well, I do in the fact that, okay, King George, he just wanted his tax money, and he wanted to tax it for all it's worth. He, you know, the British established this colony, and they wanted their dividends. I get that. Colorado has just flat lost their minds. They are so let's give peace a chance and fluffy bunnies. And
no, it's the same. King Polis would like his tax money.
Well, yeah, but he's bankrupting the state. He's already done it with marijuana. They legalized marijuana, and they've almost taxed the marijuana industry out of existence in Colorado.
Well, if I heard about it correctly, they are putting a higher tax on ammo and accessories for firearms and firearm purchases, so he's getting his tax money.
Okay, so...
But they can't sell it, so how is he getting his tax dollars?
Tyrannical regimes and government economics 101, gentlemen and ladies. Taxes are a method and a lever on control of the citizenry.
Right.
Every time anybody wants control over its citizenry, it imposes unreasonable taxes so they will comply with what the government wants. Guns are one of those things that we've kind of created a heck of a monster here in this country with the Declaration of Independence. And stepping forward and being willing to take on the greatest military force on the planet.
Oh, if to put it in perspective, like, imagine you, nice, all little insignificant, you and all of your buddies, and the Empire from Star Wars shows up, like you're looking up at the Death Star. That was what it was like when those British ships came over
exactly
the ocean.
Exactly right. They had gone and conquered continents, not countries, continents.
Well, that's why that's where the saying came that the sun never set on the British Empire.
That's exactly right.
Well, isn't this what they're doing? The Democrats are conquering it one state at a time.
Attempting to apply control.
Right.
But
they learned.
You are an unarmed populace.
Your subjects.
Your subjects.
And they learned this from the Russian KGB.
Remember, a civilized society, the hallmark of one is where both parties are armed. If I want Brandy to do something, and I'm the only one handling the gun,
it's no longer a negotiation.
She gets to do it because of threat of violence, which is the definition of extortion.
Right.
If she has her own firearm, now I have to apply reason and convince her that my idea is a good one. Otherwise, I get shot too.
Can he do that?
We'll see. He hasn't yet.
I do it all the time, every day, all day. But the point of the matter is, this is about control. This isn't about the guns.
No.
This isn't about you being able to have the firearm. It's about control. Because without it, they can control you.
It absolutely is. And you said it right at the beginning of the podcast when you said that all of this was about putting down a rebellion. Mm-hmm. And it was about... You're exactly right. It was about control because King George felt that, well, his colonies are acting up like a petulant child and he needed to go put the smackdown on them. Mm-hmm. I don't think what he counted on was people like, well, George Washington for one, but my personal favorite, Francis Marion. That dude is, and if you don't know who Francis Marion is, look him up. because this guy is like the father of modern special forces.
Well, then, in a lot of ways, just like every regime always does, when you exile a populace because they are too radical in, say, certain belief, and you want them gone. Say they did this to the Puritans. They kicked them out because they were too religiously extreme. Sent them to the colonies. Well, the colonies were pretty undeveloped. These folks had to be resilient and scratch it out on their own. Well, that level of responsibility breeds a community of integrity. That breeds independence. And they didn't count on that. In the times that they had the colony, eventually we woke up and said, enough's enough. We're not going to pay your taxes. We're no longer going to eat your shit sandwich. And if you don't like it, well, you're a long ways away. Have fun.
Well, we grew to a point where we didn't need the crown anymore.
Correct.
We were an asset to the crown, not the other way around.
And when we became that impetuous child acting up, they attempted to come over here and act up in a display of force. And we weren't having it.
No.
They miscalculated a lot of things.
Well,
we let them have it now. We're just a bunch of sheep. How many people are independent in the cities?
None.
Very, very, very few.
And you're absolutely right. We've gotten back to that point, which is the whole point. You know, when I came up with the motto for WyoTac, you know, empowerment through self-reliance. If you are self-reliant, the more you can take care of on your own, the less control someone can exert on you.
Absolutely right. And the reason that we're talking about this is because we had had enough, and it was time to have the fight, and they were going to push it. When the Democrats want to push violence, at some point, we're going to have to push back.
Which sucks. I don't want to do that.
No.
A lot of paperwork.
Well, there won't be any paperwork. The paperwork comes when you have to account for it later, and that'll be a generation or two beyond us.
Right. And if I remember right, so at the final battle, I believe it was Charleston? Oh God, help me out here. Who is the British general in Charleston?
I knew till you asked. Yeah, of course you did.
But I'm gonna have to look this up, and I'll put it in the description. But so the British general, when he surrendered to, it wasn't Washington, it was his lieutenant, but he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't hand over his sword himself. He sent his lieutenant out.
It was a big disgrace.
Oh, it was horrible.
Huge disgrace. I mean, he went home and was executed.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Okay, see? You learn something new every day.
What do you do when the guy comes back with his tail between his legs and say, hey, boss, we lost. you don't own that no more.
Well, he probably blamed the French.
Yes, I agree. Blame the French. Lordy.
Blame them for everything else, don't we? I mean, hey, you know, if you're looking for quality firearms, look for the French. You know, never fired, only dropped once.
Imported from everywhere else because they don't build any. Jeez. That got off the rails real fast.
Well, you know.
That's funny.
So, I bring this up not only because it's the 250th anniversary, but I think if you look at modern society, if you look at modern, especially state governments, I think you can draw a lot of parallels to the things that were going on then.
It's human nature.
And
it's going to repeat itself.
So, what's your prediction? What happens now?
We're going to go along to get along for a little while longer. We have a strong federal government at the moment. We'll see how that shakes out in the next 3.5 years. But at some point, this is not sustainable, and we're going to have a reset. And it's the only way you're going to do it is you're going to fight your way out of it.
Well, you know, that's socialism. So, but you sent me something today. You gave me a glimmer of hope. You sent me a document today that Pam Bondi and the Justice Department, they have created a Second Amendment task force?
That's correct.
So I skimmed over it. I didn't get a chance to read it thoroughly. I hope you did. So explain this to me.
The premise of this is that this task force is going to examine federal and state laws and will bring charges and prosecute those politicians and lawmakers and bureaucrats that willfully violate Second Amendment rights across this nation, sometimes with penalties of fines and sometimes with the penalties of jail time. It's going to get very real for violating our Constitution.
So does this mean you and I are finally going to see what we've been asking for years now, that politicians take responsibility and are held accountable for creating unconstitutional laws?
Oh, that's your dream. I thought it was zombies.
I was promised zombies.
You know what?
Get them.
COVID was the worst apocalypse ever.
Yes, I will take this, and you're right. The idea that they're going to prosecute violations of constitutional infringements makes me sleep at night really, really well.
Because, I mean, I get the 10th Amendment, mm-hmm. but the Second Amendment was not granted to the states. And if you look at every state constitution, they have their own version of the Second Amendment that basically reinforces, if not strengthens, the federal Second Amendment.
Every constitution references the United States Bill of Rights.
Right.
So by that definition, yes, it's time to hold them accountable. They're not going to take responsibility. They're going to blame somebody else for their misdoings. That's their playbook. But this task force will be put in place to make them accountable.
God, I hope you're right. I hope they actually follow through. That's my fear, because that has been historically every Republican administration, is they make all kinds of great promises and they talk the talk, but when it comes time to actually do, they go along to get along.
And they always say, yeah, but.
Yeah.
They couldn't do it for whatever reason, yeah, but.
Okay, so that maybe that's the new Republican slogan. Yeah, but.
Yeah, but. No buts. No excuses. No shortcuts.
But, well, you know, on the flip side of that, though, I've been kind of paying attention to what the Democrats are doing, and I am 100% behind you. Keep doing what you're doing, because you are alienating the entire American population one person at a time.
Well, Democrats are jumping ship like rats leaving a sinking.
Well, it's not the Democrat Party anymore.
It's not.
It's the United States Socialist Party. I mean, it's horrible.
And it's becoming radicalized on an epic scale.
So your prediction, I mean, do we see another revolution? Do we see another civil war?
If the foundations that are strong federal government at the moment are blocked, thwarted, and not allowed to be put back in place to make this country free again, yes, revolution's imminent.
So if we go back to a year ago,
had this election not gone the way it did, we'd be in it right now.
I can't disagree with you there. So, look, I urge you, you know, look at the American Revolution. Look at what happened. Look at the circumstances. And look at what the people did to be prepared, and really on a daily basis, and understand that this was life. And maybe we're on the fringe, because preparedness is kind of a lifestyle for us. It has to be, because we don't have all the modern conveniences of a large city. We're kind of on our own.
You're seeing it being repeated right now. At the state government.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one-to-one. It's there. And if you pay attention, it's obvious.
It is a one-to-one. And I think that's my real comparison, especially you start looking at Colorado, California, New York, I mean, Illinois even. It is one-to-one. It's the exactly what you were saying, the taxation without representation. They're coming for the firearms. They're just trying to put their thumb on you in every way possible. This is going to come to a head sooner or later. I hope that we can settle this in some kind of diplomatic, democratic, Republican type of fashion. But, you know, look, we always said it's the soapbox, the ballot box, and the ammo box. And the soapbox and the ballot box are not working. So where does that leave us? And all I can say, dear shooter, is be prepared, be vigilant, and try and hold your representatives' feet to the fire.
Be the Minuteman. Be ready to go.
Be ready to go. because I think all of our pleas are falling on deaf ears.
I agree.
As they were 250 years ago. So is this going to be, what are we doing? One if by land, two if by air?
Air matters now, yeah.
So I guess until next week, dear shooter.
We're going to blame the British.
Blame the British.